بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألا إن أولياء الله لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون الذين آمنوا وكانوا يتقون. For the friends of Allah Ta'ala, there is no fear and no grief. We all aspire for two things. One is, we want to feel secure, fearless. And the second thing is, we don't want to have regrets. We don't want to have any grief and pain. And this verse shows how you want to secure both. If a person is leaving his country, then he'll say one of these two things. The security system is not working, right? Or there aren't enough job opportunities. These are the two fears that he has. And this verse shows you the exit, how to secure this. No grief, no pain, and no fear. The creator of mankind knows the problems the best. So that why don't we refer to him? We got a problem, and what's the exit? How do we come out? How do we work out ourselves? أَلَا إِنَّ أَوْلِيَاءَ اللَّهِ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. So this verse is showing about the friend of Allah Ta'ala. And we have all our own interpretation and understanding of a wali, plural awliya. We have our own understanding. Someone has the understanding that the wali must be able to walk on the water. Someone has the understanding that he must be able to fly. And many of us have this, that he must be able to see what's in my heart. So all these things are wrong understandings. Is not the explanation and definition of a friend. So we need to understand then who does the Quran Sharif refer to when he says the friend. Because now he Allah for his thing, La khawfun alayhim wa la hum yahzanun. It would seem to be a jumla ismiya. And jumla ismiya is for istimrar. Right? Istimrar, you know, it's continuity all the time. That means it's not restricted to time and place. It's always. No fear and no stress. You don't have any fear, no stress, no worry. No restriction of time and no restriction of place. That will mean that in this life, then at the time of death, then in the hereafter, we are covered right through. All the plans that we have is for security. Motor car plan, for security. Health plan, for security. Credit plan, for security. Right? So all the plans that we are thinking of, the plan is for our own personal security. And then when man can offer security, we can fall for him, then why don't we listen to the security plan of Allah Ta'ala? We tried everything else, right? And we saw how it was failing. So then why don't we latch to the plan of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala? It's unbreakable and it is absolutely secure. Man can offer you security, like you had the looting, right? And a lot of people insured. And a lot of people didn't get the monies yet. They're crying, fighting, shouting. But it's what happened, right? So man has got his limitations. And on account of his limitations, he can't perform as he promised. I'll see you. But I got my limitation. You're asking me for 10 million, and my resources are only 5 million. Where must I get the money from? So I'm broke. Then your problem is, then why did you put your trust in something that's going to break? Ultimately, at some point, he's going to break. So he's going to break at some point, then why did you put your trust into him? put your trust in the one that doesn't break, it remains. So he remains for you irrespective of place, irrespective of time, all the time is, wherever you are. In the Ghar Hira, it's just two people, and the whole Quraysh community is pursuing them, coming right to the foot of the great cave, right? And then you got the security of Allah Ta'ala, then nothing to worry about. Rasulullah is comforting Abu Bakr and Allah Ta'ala. So Abu Bakr is not worried about his life. He's worried now if the Nabi has to go, something has to happen, what will happen to the people after that? So that is his grief and his pain, not his life. It is the welfare and the well-being of Rasulullah that is his concern. So Allah Pak is saying, La khawfun alayhim wa la hum yahzanun. So now, what is meant by La khawfun alayhim wa la hum yahzanun? No fear and no grief. Because the hadith is saying, Akhshakum billah, I fear Allah Ta'ala the most. And the hadith is saying, Mutawasilul ahzan, the Muslim is always in the state of worry. And here, the Quran Sharif is ruling, no fear and no grief. No fear and no grief. So what is it referring to? So, Mawlana Rumi says it in the poetry, says, Na shadi dad samane, na ghami awurd nuksane, to pesha himmat ma har che shawad buwad mehmane. Growth in wealth doesn't bring any real happiness. I say real happiness because for the time being you feel alright. You saw a monkey performing, so you get excited, right? But not something that you live for. You saw that he's performing, jumping up, jumping down, doing a tightrope. In Spring Beach you'll see all tightrope, jumping up, climbing, all that. Whatever you see in a circus, you'll see it here. You don't have to go. Unnecessarily to the circus, you don't have to go. You'll see it here. Right. So, since the Shadi Dad Samane, wealth doesn't bring any real happiness. Na ghami awurd nuksane, and loss doesn't bring any type of pain and grief. See, what happens to the normal person is gain and loss, that is the thing that manipulates his moods. What's the thing that manipulates your moods? Gain or loss. With a bad mood now, he had a bad day. Don't come and talk to me, please. Just give me a space on my time. Doesn't it happen? You have invested in the stock market, listed, right? Listed company. Everything is just crashing. You see, it's crashing. Right. Now, please, just keep away. Please keep away. Say, but don't worry. Hey, you know what's happening to me? You know. And one person was here, he had shares in the Pick and Pay, right? Muslim person shares there. So someone started him, please, just keep quiet. Every day I'm losing 5 mil. That was about 35 years ago. I can remember, 35 years ago, every day he's losing 5 mil. So you can imagine now what his moods will be like. Huh? 35 years ago, and 5 mil to lose every day, small money there. That's like now 50 million today, right? Or more than 50 million today. But he's losing it every day. So you can understand now the fluctuation of his moods, what's going to happen. So his moods are guided by wealth, loss or gain. That's what guides his moods. And these people are not guided with loss and gain. Mapesha himmat ma harcha. In our side, it's such, by the grace of Allah Ta'ala, so whatever happens, is just a passing phase. Today is like this, tomorrow is like that. وَالْضُحَى وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى. The night and the day are just phenomena. One day it's dark, one moment it's dark, then it's night. then it's day, then it's light, then it's dark. Right? So does it really bring, does it really affect your mood? What did you say now? Shamsuddin ab huruf ho gaya. Shamsuddin ka intiqal ho gaya. So you feel a bit grief, isn't it? Shamsuddin ka intiqal ho gaya. So there are thura sa, you feel a little bit, hey, the night is gone. Guys. That's how you feel. But the awliya feel different. Sayyid Sulaiman Nadwi, Dr. Sulaiman, Dr. Salman's father, he would say, when the tahajjud time is about elapsing, hey, now, I had it now. I have to wait for another 24 hours to get this beautiful moment. He would see and sense the feeling of the moments, you know, the last moments, as the tahajjud time is just ending out. He would see it. You know, it's like you're meeting your bride, right? Well, the bride is now an old story for all of you. Like you had 1 year jamaat, right? And now you're just meeting. Just meeting, and before you know it, it's already tahajjud time, it's already fajr time. So you have to go for namaz. So you're saying, jaate ho, jaane jaana, aakhiri salam, lete jaana. Jaane jaana means the soul of the beloved. What? Jaate ho, jaane jaana. The soul of the beloved, akhiri salam lete jana. How you feel at the time? He, I think the Mu'azzin is a little bit wrong, I think. He's called azad before the time. How do you feel at that time? So these people that are in love with Allah Ta'ala, that's how they feel. And that's the thing to be investing in love. Everything else comes and goes. But the people of love, their love just goes on. They just want more and more. They don't want a decrease in that. They just want love. Love of Allah Ta'ala. So they have tasted it. Salasatun. Man kana fi yajidu halawat al iman. You got this, you're getting the sweetness. Right. So you love someone only for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. No other reason, no personal vendettas and all that. It's just for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you love the person, no other reason. See how their minds work. It's only for the love of Allah ta'ala. So it's awliya, who are they? So the Quran Sharif says, Alladheena amanu wa kanu yattaqun. So they are distinct in two things. In the iman they are distinct. And in their taqwa they are distinct. So the iman is of a level, unshakable, and their taqwa, the abstinence from doubtful things, is also proverbial. They don't experiment with the iman, they don't experiment with taqwa. They just keep it. Because they know what they enjoy, that love, and they don't want to experiment with that love of theirs. They don't mess around with their love. Their love must carry on, must keep on escalating, keep on just improving all the time. That's what they want. So when they want that to just go on increasing, so they very, very careful about their love. Personal about their love. It's my love. And I don't want to experiment. I don't want to gamble with this. So the Quran Sharif is outlining then what's so outstanding in them. The things that are outstanding, iman and taqwa. Alladheena amanu wa kanu yattaqun. One person has boarded the plane, boarded the train, right? So in the trains you have some limits. This is what you can carry. So he's gone to the ticket master. I want to buy a ticket, this is my luggage. So his luggage is double, right? What you are allowed is 20 kilos and he's got 40 kilos. So the ticket master says, all right, carry on, don't worry. So he is telling the ticket master, aur aage kya hoga? What will happen afterwards? You saw me right here. Today I got excess luggage. What's going to happen in the next leg? He says, no, maine wo TT se baat kar li. TT is like a conductor, right? Maine TT se baat kar li, I spoken to the conductor. He will see you through. Then he asked, phir aage kya hoga? And then what will happen afterwards? Phir aap apne manzil maqsood tak pahunch gaye honge, to phir koi fikar ki baat nahi. Then you have reached your destination, then there's nothing to worry about. Nahi, uske baad bhi ek manzil hai. So the ticket examiner is talking to his friend in English, thinking that this person doesn't know what's going on. He says, yeah, kuch, this person is off. He says, yeah, I'm off, but I'm off with the fikr of the hereafter, with the fikr of akhir. Because you can see me through from this point to this point, from the second point to the third point, you can see me through. But from that point onwards, when I reach Allah Ta'ala, can anything be concealed there? Can any flaw, dishonesty, deception, robbing, cheating, can it work there? So, how can I pass that hurdle if I'm robbing, I'm cheating? And number two is this, that this train doesn't belong to you. You're not the boss. You don't have the right to make this type of a provision for me. You can't say that I'm exempt from the law, because it doesn't belong to you. If it belongs to you, then a 10 rand commodity, you can sell it for 5 rand, you can, because it belongs to you. But it doesn't belong to you, then you can't act freely in the next person's wealth. Now, what stirred him up? What brought him to that level? See, you know, many a times we don't realize the lesson that we learned at the Maktab, that lesson has to be revised. You hear all high things, space and science and whatever you have to learn. But those stuff that is supposed to be learned at the maktab level, that we have forgotten. See, in that Zarur al-Muslimi, I got Amantu billahi wa malaikati wa kutubi wa rusulihi wal yawm al-akhir. So that's part of your iman. Wal yawm al-akhir, isn't it part of your iman? If that iman was right, then would you have been playing this type of monkey business? But because that iman is not right, therefore you're experimenting. See that? See how clear it is. Amantu billahi wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rusuli wal yawmil akhir. So this is repeated. You say the child will repeat it, so that these concepts may be going deep into the child's hearts. When can the child ever rob, cheat, bluff, be dishonest, deceive? Can he do anything like that? He can't do it. Because he knows there is a day of Qiyamah, and I will stand before Allah Ta'ala, kullum ati yawm al-qiyamati farda. I'll be face to face with Allah Ta'ala. Nobody to support me, nobody to bail me out. Phir mera kya hoga? What's going to happen to me there? I'm bailed out here nicely, obviously. You bailed me out, the conductor bailed me out. But there, that final destination, there, who's going to bail me out there? So, he may have not been an alim, but the consciousness that I have to stand before Allah Ta'ala, that moves the person. So, the distinct quality of this person is iman. One is iman, one is taqwa. One is iman, one is taqwa. So throughout his life, he is no fear, no worry. There's three people who took their places in the corner of a masjid, right? So they deep in their work, whether in zikr, muraqabah, or a student studying, right? Deep. And they're so deep, oblivious of the surroundings. They're not looking what's right, what's left, what's above, what's before them. They're just deeply consumed in their work. Allah Ta'ala hame wa tawfiq naseeb kare. We're given our time, then maximize. And the way to maximize is become oblivious, become consumed in Allah Ta'ala so much that you don't know what's going on. Not that ask for istighraq, no, I don't say that. But you show Allah Ta'ala that I came only for you. Then I don't want my mind to be scattered here, there, and everywhere else. As though I came to the house of Allah Ta'ala, admiring the architecture, and the fans are working, not working, why the aircon is not working. So, do you realize what you have come for? You have come for a purpose, put your mind totally into it, then don't let your mind be scattered, don't let anything distract you. I came for Allah Ta'ala, so let my mind be totally for it. You must behave like this, that it's your first night, your bride, right? Do you respect any type of interruption? At that time now somebody's phoning you, who's that Muhammad Khatrada phoning you? Do you accept? Although he's your friend, say, well, I'll see you tomorrow morning. Will you entertain the call at that time? Provided you didn't do any masti before, no pre-marriage or nothing, absolutely nothing. Now you know the time that you are gloating and gloating about after 2 years of wait. They put you onto the waiting list, right? Probably to see this bad year. For 2 years we will see how he's behaving. After that we'll give our daughter, right? So they put him on his tracks. Now you got that moment that you were cherishing for 2 years. 2 years fasting, right? And then you got that moment. Then you accept any type of interruption then. So you come to the king of love. What? You come to the love of all love. When you come to him now, then give him your love. When you come to him, then give him all your love, all your love, all your muhabbat, give it to him. Then that requires it. Then just turn your mind away. And what I'm saying, I'm thinking for a support, you know. See, the Quran Sharif, the adab of the Quran Sharif, إِذَا قُرِيَ الْقُرْآنُ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ. That lam is for ikhtisas. Means, when you're listening to the Quran Sharif, then just dedicate yourself entirely to the listening of the Quran Sharif. Nothing else. Just put your mind just to the Quran Sharif itself. That this is the kalam of Allah Ta'ala, and I've given my heart, my soul, everything to him. So this is one of the adab, that when you are listening to the Quran Sharif, then with what frame of mind, my total self. That is why Muslim Muhammad Shafi Sahib says, now it's becoming like a style. You're just traveling with a friend, oh, the Quran Sharif switched on, talking, and everything is carrying on. He says, rather, you listen to the Quran Sharif for a short period, but at the time of the recitation, put your entire mind to it, your entire heart into it. Your mind is there, your heart is there, everything is there. Some Sahaba Kiram would say that we learned Surah Qaf. Surah Qaf is about 4 pages, just by listening to the recitation of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So what level of listening and hearing must have been, that they have dedicated themselves just to the listening of the Quran Sharif. Fuzail ibn Iyaz, Rahmatullah Ali, was the leader of the gangsters, right? But what changed him when he heard that Alabnya anilil ladina amanu an taksha qulubhum? Hasn't the time come that the believer's heart should lower, they should be humbled, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That struck him. He was listening, although he was whatever he was doing, but he heard the Quran Sharif, and he heard it with such attention, undivided attention, that struck it, went deep. Now he left all that. But you see the magnificent effect of the Quran Sharif, provided the Quran Sharif is treated and respected, how it's supposed to be respected. It's got its effect. But for that thing to affect you, then you need to be online, connected. You got the wires, but they're not connected. There's going to be any reception. The reception is if you are connected. So listen to it wholeheartedly, with all your attention, all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, uninterrupted. Listen to the Quran Sharif. There must be no interruption at that time. So the same will happen to the teaching of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Listening to it, listening with all your mind, all your heart. You can't be doing something else now, looking, admiring something else, or it's become a style. The Quran Sharif is being recited, and there may be no pictures on the screen, but there's a park now, and you're going through the park. You know, on the screen, some photos are coming by undivided mind. Listen to the word of Allah Ta'ala. Your higher heart is just in Allah Ta'ala alone. Nothing, no interruption. Me and my friend. Me and my Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. I got nothing else now. With that level. So the hadith must be like that. The Quran Sharif must be like that. Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi is conducting a lesson of hadith, right? And his students are noticing that his face is changing color. Red and red. Now they don't, Imam Malik rahmatullah used to, you know, commanding such awe and respect that nobody had the courage to tell him anything at that time. So they're all struck. But they can see his face is changing red. After the lesson is over, so he asked one of his students, someone, just pull my kurta. They saw a scorpion bit him about 15 times. I don't know the exact number, but about 15 times the thing stung him. And he says, just on account of the respect of the hadith, I didn't move a moment. So at least some respect. You want the effect of that hadith, you want the effect of the Quran Sharif, then show it the respect. You have to remain connected. Like I say, you want the lights, you want the fan, you want the aircon, then the level of respect. Show the level of respect and you find the glory, you find the benefit. إِذَا قُرِيَ الْقُرْآنُ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ. And then, number two is, the Quran Sharif didn't say فَاسْمَعُوا, فَاسْتَمِعُوا. Listen attentively, just listen to the words. And then, the second, this will apply to the Quran, it will apply to the explanation of the Quran, that's the hadith. What is the hadith? It's the explanation of the Quran Sharif. وَأَنْسِتُوا لَهُ. So, silent, for silence it may be various words, it may be uskutu, ansitu. But the Quran Sharif preferred to use the word ansitu, not uskutu. So, uskutu is just plain silence. And ansitu, then just remain silent with respect. A respectful silence. Silence, but a silence of respect. So, one is فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ اِخْتِسَاسِ. Just allow your mind to be focused to the recitation, not divided, not scattered out, just there. And وَأَنْسِتُ, remain absolutely silent out of respect of the word. So the respect of the word of Allah Ta'ala, the respect of the word of Rasulullah. And now you're doing ta'aleem, whether in the masjid, whether at home, but undivided attention. You have to, in order to get the fruit of the ta'lim or the recitation of the Quran Sharif, what's required is conformity of the adab. Gradually you have to talk about it, speak about it. So we are affected, and the people that are sitting in the ta'lim or the recitation of the Quran Sharif, they are also affected. Maybe a small rendering of the qiraat, but you're definitely affected. See that Fuzayl ibn Iyaz, where he was, and one recitation, what a revolution he brought in his life. Just one recitation and a total revolution. Tufail ibn Amr ad-Dawsi, famous Sahabi, right, leader of his community. And they spoke to him so much, they scared him of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he stuffed his ears with cotton wool, that I may not listen to him even by mistake. But then as he approached, he says, I'm intelligent. I know what is a soothsayer. I know what is a magician. I know what is a poet. So what is the wrong if I listen to the person? And he just pulled the thing off. One recitation was enough. See the dynamism of the Quran Sharif. Now it could happen then, it will definitely happen now. But are we showing it that level of respect that it requires? So you show it the level of respect that it requires and you see the effect afterwards. See, the world is gone now. You know, about 40 years ago, 40, 45 years ago, so someone showed me an article, I think it was Newsweek or Times or something. All people got a phobia for this type of things. Right? But I think it's all trash, it is Times or that. Any junk will appear there. I know we have a student. Yusuf. Very good, isn't it? You remember? Huh? Yusuf? You remember that boy? American. Black American. So he was here. So So he invited his brother. So both were, remember? Yeah? Remember the name? Forgot. But you must think of yourself, the muhaddithin, the remembering. One hadith, 10 names are pulling. You see that? You know, I really baffled at them. Huh? They pulling that 10 names in one hadith, and with the full names, and where they supposed to say, Haddasana, they say Haddasana. Akhbarana, Akhbarana. Hey, something else, that numero is something else. And here now, something happened a few years ago, we can't even one full name. See the decline, where it was, and how it fell. But, you know that the very fine line difference, Haddasana, Akhbarana, very fine line difference. The difference is, one is, the teacher is reciting the hadith. You saying Haddasana. And what is the student is reciting it and the teacher is listening to it, saying Akhbarana, right? But now they remember everything to that detail. Then you get sometimes a good hadith, the teacher could not pronounce the word so clearly. So that is also been recorded. Kana al-sar, he couldn't pronounce the word. They got that also in record. So, the memories were so, so profound. So, we had that Yusuf, and he called his brother, Dawood. So now, entertain him, alright, they said he's a little bit of a wealthy person. So that time I was saying Duma was around, he said, just give some money, buy some burgers and all, they used to that type of food. So he took him to town, showed him the beach and all that. Bought him some burgers, whatever. Not even 2 weeks passed, there was about a 5-page article in the Times magazine about this Dawood. So he was a stand-up artist. What do you call stand-up? I don't know, comedian or stand-up artist. So they gave a full article of this person, a stand-up artist. So then I asked him, hey, what do you do? I don't know, he's world famous. Then he said, me, in 2 weeks time to go back. So why? I got a call now, that one show I want to give, that show is $100 million, and I must be there. He was so popular, that person, this Dawood. And I have to be there. So I just in passing asked him, how much you come out with? About 20 million. The rest of it, who does it go to? This organizer and that presenter and everybody else goes to. I'll only get 20 million. So I say, every kachara is there. That the full article, they're founding the beach and all that. Tumar Salim, please don't give the madrasa detail. Tumar Salim's name came there, but no telling through the madrasa. They mustn't correct themselves with the madrasa. For any reason, they must correct themselves. But everything stupid can come in there. What's so great about the article? So you see these things here. So we are talking about the three buzrugs. I say, don't pay attention to these things here. It's all waste, kachara. Small minds get amused with small things. And a Muslim's mind is as huge as the ocean, bigger than the ocean. Then the things of the akhirah should be then occupying your mind. These things here. What are you worried about these things? Today is with you, tomorrow is with someone else, third day someone else. So don't let these things occupy your mind. Our whole mind. Kitna gaya, kitna aya. Kitna gaya, kitna aya. How much went and how much came? What? How much went and how much came? The whole day and night is after that. How much went and how much came? So that's our whole occupation. So they all sitting there, they occupied. They're so serious in the work. They occupied, consumed. Nothing is interesting there. Whether in kitab, whether in zikr or muraqabah, but nothing in the world is occupying their minds. Now one person came out and he's watching them, he's observing them. And he sees now one young girl is coming in, too smart. The complexion and beauty and the voice. She had everything, the figure, everything, everything. Nothing was short there. And he can't get over her. So he's observing now that this girl is coming to all these three people. So before she can pass that first person, she says, hey, let me grab one corner also so she'll come to me as well. I can also get something. So anyway, now he's watching with the corner of his eyes. He's grabbed one corner, other three have grabbed three corners. He's grabbed one corner, the fourth corner. He's watching what's going on here. So he sees that she's got a big tray and she gave the first person his box, right, food, whatever. Now he's eating and he's eaten and all the scraps in the bones, he's flinging it hard on her face. Now this thing is something different now. This thing here, you don't find something like this. They're eating it with relish and they're throwing the bones onto her, all the scraps are they're throwing onto her. Second person does the same thing. Third person is doing the same thing. Now she did the tree and she came to him. So he also took the box, he ate, he said now, he felt now that this is like the routine here, you know. This is the tradition here. So he took the bones and he flung it. She gave a tight slap she gave. He says, these people are behaving like that because they despise me, they turned away from me, they've got a hatred for me. And I am the world, what? I've come in this form, but I am the world. In your language, I am Miss World, what? I am Miss World, I've come here, right, as Miss World, to mislead these people here. And these people are not showing any interest. So they deserve to give me, they deserve to throw that thing on my face. But you, from the time I stepped into the masjid, you admire me, you can't get over my beauty. So you don't fall in that category. So you can't do this thing here. Why shall you do it again? أَتَتْهُ الدُّنْيَا وَهِيَ رَاغِمَةٌ. So when your heart is in the akhirat, the dunya will still come, but it will come to you with humility, humbled. Hazrat to this cow. You see our Buzugardi, Hazrat, you know, right? Hazrat this cow. Enough now. Hazrat, to answer. Mera na keh diya, nahi khaunga. أَتَتْهُ الدُّنْيَا وَهِيَ رَاغِمَةٌ. The world will come to them, humbled. 100,000 are coming to this Buzurgadi. Isko wapas kar do. Hame koi zarurat nahi. We don't have a need for it now. Send it back. Now who can do that? Atatthu dunya wahiya raghimatu. The dunya comes kissing their feet. In the words of the majlis, boot looking. Right? The dunya comes and licks their boots. And they just kick the dunya away. The dunya comes and licks their boots and they just kick the dunya away. See, apne dil ko sahi kar do. You see, his whole khanka is to get the heart right. The heart right. Malice, pride, jealousy, etc. I was thinking of it last week. How can you get it right? So, one thought came to my mind, if it's right from Allah Ta'ala. I said, just adjust the mind. See, the hadith says, that the body got 360 joints, right? And you owe it to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala for the blessing of every joint. Every joint, and you owe it to Allah Ta'ala. Imagine now, if there's a pain on your arm, or your pain on the neck and you can't move, how miserable don't you feel? Or your one leg not functioning right, how do you feel? So don't you owe it to Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala for that favor that He has bestowed you? Right? So every small good deed that you will do is an act of sadaqah, as though it is paying for the gift of Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala. Right? You're doing this, it's a gift. You're doing this, it's a payment of the gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any good deed. Even you're smiling at a Muslim. So I said, hey, the easy thing is, adjust the mind. How you adjust the mind? just the mind from the morning, that how can I show some kindness? Some act of kindness, how can I show? I mustn't wait for the kindness to be done to me. Yes, I must show that kindness. Small or big, right? The wealthy according to his capacity, the poor according to his capacity. But every person must think that how can I show an act of kindness for the day? Start off. One kind act of kindness, the second act of kindness, the third of kind act of kindness. But some work of kindness. Then my mind started working again, you know. That, alright, is there any proof for this, any elucidation for this in the hadith? So, I saw two hadiths, right? One hadith, we all know about, and the thirsty dog, and a loose woman provided it water. She earned a jannah for that. Look at this hadith. And the second hadith was, a wealthy person, one is a poor person, loose woman, one is a wealthy person, right? So he's got a lot of debtors, right? So he was sent his debt collector. It's now long time before Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This comes about 10 times in Bukhari Sharif. So this is coming before Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So he's sending his debt collector with the instructions, if it's a wealthy person, then be considerate. Don't go and blow your top and don't shout at him. Don't shout at him. Courtesy and be considerate with the wealthy person. He's got the money to pay, he's not paying him. Even then, courtesy and consideration. And if it's a poor person, then just make him mouth. Just write it off. So what level of persons must have been? Right? If it's a poor person, write it off. It's a wealthy person, talk with courtesy and consideration. So you got no other nekis, right? So this is the only neki I got your jannat. So, look, examine both the hadiths. What's the common denominator? The common denominator is the act of kindness. Isn't it? The loose woman and the wealthy person, what is the common factor here? The common factor is the act of kindness. Right? So we start off the day from the morning right till the evening. Whatever little act of kindness I can do, let me do it for the day. One sahabi, I remember his name is, starts with Dam Dam, something, right? When the Quran Sharif ayat was revealed, الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ, they spend whilst they are in prosperity or in adversity. The Sahabi Kiram, when they heard about this, prosperity and adversity, they were in financial constraints, real constraints. No money and no job opportunities. So they would carry people's burdens, like 50 kilos, 100 kilos, take it to, say, 500 meters, 600 meters, carry so much of burdens, right? And what they're getting for that, in lieu of that, they're getting about 2 kilos of dates. 2 kilos of dates, the cheap dates will be about 20 rands a kilo, right? So about 40 rands they're getting just for carrying the dates for 500 meters, right? They would give that out in charity. So imagine now there's no job, but now we also have to do some work of charity, some work of kindness. What can we do? According to our capacity of kindness. So no person should feel that work of kindness is exclusive to the wealthy. You, in your capacity, what kindness, what act of kindness can you do? You, in your situation, what can you do? And if you look around, you'll find the opportunity. Small, and you let it start from the home, right? From the home. The wife, the child, right? Then the neighbor, and then the friend, the relative. The person that is sitting beside you, whoever it is. But now, I mustn't wait now. He must do something for me, then I will do something for him. That's not our style. Our style, we must just do the kindness, act of kindness, and leave it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thereafter. Do the act of kindness, do what you can do, do it. And then have that faith in Allah ta'ala. Irhamu man fil ard, yarhamkum man fis sama. You will show kindness. Allah Ta'ala will definitely show kindness. All are Allah's children. He loves all. Like He likes us, He likes others as well. All are His, right? And you've been courteous, you've been good to them. So won't Allah Ta'ala be good to you? So have that mind that let me go, maybe do some good to that person. Whoever, let me do something, something, something. Whatever I can do for the day, let me do it. I must not lose that opportunity, because an opportunity comes, sometimes it's never to be repeated. You've got a chance. Within your capacity, what can I do? Small, big, whatever it is, do it. Do it. You can also wait and no, they must get my breakfast ready, you know. I'm Mr. So-and-so. So, you know, I'm getting the bucks here. I'm getting the money here. So they must serve me with respect. You know, all the comfort and the enjoyment depends on me. I work so hard for them. And I don't even deserve one cup of tea. No, you must get up and do it for me nicely. But you can turn the thing around and you'll feel so much more enjoyable. What are they doing it for me? Let for the chain, let me try. Put the stove on. Let me put the tea or the water, etc. Let me do it myself. And they'll get up at their leisure. At their leisure also. They may put up a mold, but why you did this? You know, we do the tea every day. But you think in your mind, but what act of kindness can I do? What act of kindness can I do? And I think very strongly, if a person gets up with that frame of mind, that what act of kindness I can do for the day, inshallah, he won't suffer depression, moods are right down, depressed, feeling low of himself. No, no, let me do the little that I have got, whatever I got, let me start it off. Let me start it off. I know, 1976, so I went to Nizamuddin, Bakri's holidays now. So the holiday is about 10 days. Let me go Nizamuddin, spend some time, then I'll come back afterwards. So my luck, every time I go to Nizamuddin, they make me the Amir. Madrasa also, they make me the Amir. So hey, this is not right. Now they were all Arabs with me, and I must be the Amir of the Jamaat. So I'm moving all this Rurki and all these places here near Dioban. So the Mashwara decided that I must cook the food. They asked me to clean the toilet or something. I could do it easily, but now clean the prepare the food now. Hey, you know what to do? You know, when you push the corner, the things open up. So I said, all right, let me do this, let me try. This people's food is bland, right? So that time I remember beef in India was 2 rupees a kilo. 2 rupees means 20 cents. How much? I can remember very distinctly. So there's about 10 Arabs bought about 3 kilos of meat, of beef, right? Cut into small pieces and all that. Put in the pot, boil that thing, put some potatoes, some butter and some salt and pepper, all that. Hey, they wiped the whole thing out. The only complaint came from the Indian sector. There were two, hey, there's no masala, no spice here. But the Arabs really enjoyed it. But I say, within your means, do something. Don't say, oh, he might do this and that person, why he didn't do that? By within your means, you do what you can. Leave the rest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can do this much, do what you can. And you see how Allah ta'ala will bless you. See, you do what you do, what you're supposed to be doing, and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and see how He'll bless you. You will give according to your means. And when He'll give, chappar tor karke denge. He'll give you so much, you don't know what to do. Here I'm telling you, with yaqeen I'm telling you, He'll give so much that you don't know what to do with it. He's giving according to His splendor, you giving according to your minute limitation. So everybody must do some act of kindness. Even if it means the guard that's there, right? So if you can't give anything, you don't give, but at least appreciate, thank you, sagbona, kunjani, some courtesy. Can't we do that much? A little bit of courtesy. This little acts of courtesy, it must be taught to the children as well. Once I was walking past, so it was a student, right, small child, about 12 or 13 years of age. So I'm seeing his father got 2 parcels in both his hands, and the father is taking it. Now I couldn't shout the student in the presence of his father. When he came to Madrasa, I said, you don't have the courtesy to do this much as well. This act of courtesy, at least take that from your father's hand. This much you could do. You are enjoying from that. You will eat out of it. But you don't have the courtesy of even helping your father to take that into the car. You can't even do that much. Where's your brains?
You can't even do that much. You know you're going to eat all of it. You're going to enjoy from it. No, no, it's his work, he must do it. Do you have that type of... that's the attitude you're showing. My marhum mother. So, one of her brothers liked to be nice. Some people, the youth now, they like to be dressed well, smart looking, smart cars, all that, right? So one brother was like that. So my mother explained to her brother, you see, when you are in life, people don't look at your clothing, at the smart car that you are driving, at the good house, palatial home that you are. But what they look at is what type of generosity, good heart, kindness you had to show. That's what they will see. You see someone, that time they were moving in trains and all that. So you saw one old auntie or someone just jumped off the train, right? Carried a parcel. That uncle told me afterwards that whenever I saw an old person in the train or wherever, I just stood there. And the amount of dua that I got, old lady or old person, I see something, right? Let me take it, let me grab it from that person and let me escort it to the car or to the home. Get some du'as of these people. Now that is remembered in your lifetime, and even after you have died, this person was a very helpful person, kind-hearted person. So the little acts of courtesy, kindness, muhabbat, etc., don't hesitate in doing so. Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib says, I was coming to the masjid for that time, and he would come at least about half an hour before the namaz time. And I encourage all the hafiz and ulama-i kiram, at least for the fajr, come early. Because fajr time is such now, especially in summer, it's a little bit early, and someone is making a mistake, right? So he's a couple of more wings, so he's delayed. So you come early, alright, muazzin is delayed before the azan. If the imam is delayed, you're not looking forward to performing the namaz, but someone is performing the namaz. But that can happen if everybody says, now it's our masjid, we need to see it's running well. But say, no, he's the imam, he must make the figure, etc. But then where's the community feeling? Is there a community feeling then? So, no, we are men, he's a man. We can oversleep, he can oversleep. He can have a mistake, I can have a mistake. But when all of us are enjoying the facility of the masjid, let me do what I can do. Well, maybe the muazzin overslept, but let me go a little bit early. If it is that he overslept, let me do the azan. I won't fight with him. But if it is that he is delayed, what can I do? If he's looking forward also to call azan, that's not the right thing. Yes, if the muazzin is not there, nobody is there, alright, I can do it also, inshallah. Maybe not as good as the muazzin. The namaz is not being performed, imam is not there, let me learn a couple of surahs now, long surahs in fajr. Let me learn it, but if it's fajr, and there's nobody there, let me do it. So, the people of the masjid also feel so secure, that yeah, alhamdulillah, we never stranded. At any given time, we never stranded. We got someone. So isn't it a good feeling? Brother Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib says, he's going early to the masjid. I don't know what must have been in his mind, but I come early with the same intention, that if the muazzin is late, then I'll do the azan. If the imam for some reason is not there, then I'll do the namaz. A couple of surahs must be alright. Imam, if you read a little bit slowly, so learn a couple of surahs, so it'll manage. At further time, at least someone is there to do the job. But otherwise, now the masjid people feel so insecure now. Everybody looking right, left, go ahead, kaya muazzin, kaya namaz, kaya imam, shouting imam now, why are you coming late? You know you're getting paid for this thing here. But is that the spirit? Let me go, let me do it. It's a happy community, isn't it? So, Mufti Shafi Sahib now is going towards the masjid, he's quite young at the time. From a distance, I remember in Dioban, most of the places at that time was wells, right? Then they moved on to pumps. First it was wells. Then it was hand pumps. They would draw out water, right? So now this woman, she's having trouble in drawing the water from the well, right? So he saw that she's an old woman and she needs some help. So he pulled out the water and he asked that, alright, there's still about half an hour for the namaz, so I can deliver the water. Where's your home? The amount of du'as I got from that woman, she says, I can't get over the du'as. When I think to myself that the little bit act of kindness that I've done, maybe I got her du'as that's taking me. So they don't miss out these opportunities. Here, it's a destitute, it's an old person, old woman, right? Only person you avoid is a young girl. Please don't go and help her too much. What a problem. Just leave her to do whatever she needs to do. But everybody else try and help out. But he says, then when I saw that amount of du'as that I was getting, I said, every morning I won't miss out this opportunity. Looks like she comes to fetch the water at that part of the morning. Let me go and at least secure the du'a. So one is we do that act of kindness, and the other is we trust in Allah. He will see us right. Irhamu man fil ard, yarhamkum man fis sama. We'll do it right, and He will see us right. The Imam Sahib, he received a musafir after Isha. So whatever little he had, like greens and burji, all that, saag and, you know, whatever herbs he had. So that musafir said, Imam Sahib, you can have that. Not interested. Until I don't have murg, plow, I must have that, then only I will eat. I do not interest in anything else. I must have biryani and murh. It must be chicken, tandoori, you know. And not that only chicken, must be that desi chicken. Desi chicken is like a Zulu chicken. So that is rare in itself. The plow is a very expensive meal. So I'm not interested. Imam Sahib, you could enjoy that. I don't find this food here. I'm not going to sleep. I'm not going to eat. Anyway, around 11:30 at night, there's a knock on the door. Imam Sahib, you know what? This woman now, he got very irritated now. He's thinking to himself now, this woman, maybe she came now, she went on tabiz or something. But is this the time to come and knock the door? So this woman is telling Imam Sahib that, you see, I made a vow with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that if my child recovers from his sickness, then I'm going to feed a mihman that came to the masjid. The musafir that came to the masjid, I'm going to feed him. So my child was sick for so many years, and today he recovered at around Zohar time. So I was looking for the desi chicken, the Zulu chicken, high and low, I was looking for it. I found it about Asr Maghrib time. Then I had to prepare the plow, all that. Then it was still after Isha, till about 11:30, I got everything prepared. Now, my vow, I have to go and execute the vow. Now the Imam Sahib is getting a musafir up. Musafir Sahib, uto, get up. Yeah, he's kharata layer, he's snoring away. Ah, kya baat hai? And he slapped away again. Getting up for the second time. Hazrat, ye plow tumhare liye aaya hai. This man had made a vow. So he is trusting Allah Ta'ala was so great that until Allah Ta'ala doesn't feed him with murgh palau, he's not going to eat anything. See that? He's trusting Allah Ta'ala like that. See? Ana in the zanni abdi bi. What level of umid that you have with Allah Ta'ala, he will see you right. But do you trust Allah Ta'ala? One is the act of kindness, and one is the level of trust and the umid, the hope that you need to have with Allah Ta'ala. Do we have? We have trust in everything else. One musafir came to the masjid. You know. So the Imam Sahib is asking him, "And what do you do for a living?" So he just ignored the Imam. Imam is persisting. You must do something. You can't just carry on like that. You must do something. You're going to be staying in the masjid now for 1-2 days. What are you doing for a living? So he kept quiet. Now Imam Sahib got a little bit aggressive. So then for the third time, when Imam Sahib became aggressive, now he says to Imam, "See, I've got an understanding with the Jew at the entrance of the masjid that he will provide the meals. I paid him already, and he'll provide the meals every day. So then it's alright." So Imam Sahib, where's your iman? Allah Pak says, "Nahnu razuquk." He's promised, "Ma min dabbatin fil ardi illa ala Allahi rizquha." No moving creature, but it depends for its sustenance on Allah Ta'ala alone. Allah Ta'ala has taken the undertaking. He's undertaken that his risk. So you got so much of trust in the Jew there. Do you have that level of trust in Allah Ta'ala when He's already promised, "Ma min dabbatin fil ardi illa ala Allahi rizquha wa ya'lam mustaqarraha wa mustawda'aha." So, a shame to you that you don't have the level of trust in Allah Ta'ala as you have in the Jew boy. See, there's two things. This act of kindness, and then number two is the trust in Allah Ta'ala, the hope that you need to have in Allah Ta'ala. Do we have it? We have in everything else. This plan here, that shop and that business. We have our hopes planted everywhere. But the trust that we're supposed to be having in Allah Ta'ala, do we have it? So anyway, coming back to the topic, Allah inna awliya Allah la khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahzanun. So the distinct quality of the awliya is what is iman, one is taqwa. One is iman, one is taqwa. So you can't falter them in these regards. And then the virtue is that at any given time, there's no fear, there's no grief, there's no stress, there's no fear, they don't fear anything. They are such calm and relaxed people. One old man came to us, Hari Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, and he's complaining, Hari Sahib, dua karo, biwi bimar hai. My wife is sick now, and she's ailing, so make dua. Aur azad ye toh meri roti pakati hai. So dua kar lo. So anyway, Hazrat Hari Sahib said, made 2-3 duas. He says, Are, kya taajub ki baat hai? Badi ajeeb baat hai. What a strange thing. Ek aadmi to jail khane se chhoot raha hai, aur ye chhootne ki wajah se dusra ro raha hai. To rone ki baat hai ya hansi ki, khushi ki baat hai. What a strange phenomena that someone is getting out of jail and someone is crying over it. Then kuch waqfe ke baad Hari Sahib ne kaha, aur thode din ke baad aap bhi chut jaoge. To Hazrat Mohtaji Sahib is saying, dekho wo kis dua ke liye khud apni khushkhabri lekar ke gaye. He's already told you that you all also have to go just now. But you see how they relaxed about death. It's not a ghabrat feeling. Then the second dua says, hey, but Hazrat, ye to meri roti bhi pakaya karti thi. All my bread, everything, my food, she used to prepare. Hari Sahib says, Allah Ta'ala is kisam ki khud gharzi se bacha hai. So you wanted to live this for your stomach, this for your food. So that means she is not an important thing. Your food is more important than her. That if she goes, what will happen to your food? So khud gharzi se Allah Ta'ala bacha hai. But you see how relaxed they are about death. Only that person can speak like this, who doesn't have the stress that we have, who doesn't have the fear and the worry that we have. Now we go the fear, oh, kya hoga, how's going to happen, how's the house going to run, what's going to happen to me. So we have that type of concern, and these people's concern is different. See that, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. Now what happens to these people? I showed you in life what happens. And as they passing on, then what happens? As in life, what happens? And as they passing on, what happens to them? Now, as Umar radiallahu anhu is in his grave, and you know the procedure: Mar Rabbuk and Ma Dinuk. Right? Who's your Rabb and what's your Deen? So as Umar radiallahu anhu says, Rabbi Allah. وَدِينِي الْإِسْلَامِ وَمَنْ رَبُّكُمَا وَمَا دِينُكُمَا. I got the answers right. Do you know the answers? مَنْ رَبُّكُمَا وَمَا دِينُكُمَا. But now, you learnt it from me now, right? You can't say, I'll do the same thing in the qabr. You can do it if you got that imani backup, that support you got, then Allah Ta'ala will inspire you. But you just heard the story, and you want to go and imitate. You can't do that. But imitation doesn't work there. Hazrat Rabia Basriya rahmatullah alayha, sometimes the woman thinks they've got nothing for them. All the khushkhabri is only for men. So she is in a grave and the procedure starts. So when the procedure starts now, so they ask you now, Omar Rabbuk, who's your Rabb? So she looks at them with surprise. And where are you coming from? You come from the heavens. What's the distance from the heaven to the earth? Approximately 500 years journey. So I want to know from you that you covered this journey of 500 years. Did you forget Allah Ta'ala in the process? 500 journeys from the heaven to the earth. Do you forget Allah Ta'ala? Then how can Rabia forget when she's just moved 2 meters down? You traveled 500 years and you haven't forgotten. And Rabia, how can she ever forget Allah Ta'ala when just she's traveled just 2 meters down? How can she forget? See, again I have to say the same thing, that don't think now you the Rabia Basri also. You become like her, then Allah Ta'ala will inspire you with that answer. Otherwise, then you will say, ha ha, la adri, la ha ha, hey, I don't know what's going on here. So if you become like that, then Allah Ta'ala will inspire you with that step of strength. Bayezid Bustami rahmatullahi alayhi and his Lord in his grave. See, I show you, la khufun alayhim wa la hum yahzanun. So the whole secret here is, the whole direction was moved away from materialism to Allah Ta'ala. From materialism to Allah Ta'ala. When that is right, then your understanding is right, the journey is right, everything is working well. But if your mind is stuck up in all these things here, then you'll get a tight slap, dunya will slap you. But then it's just an imitation. It's not a genuine thing, it's just an imitation. So Bayezid Bustami rahmatullahi, and they ask him the grief, kya lekar ke aaye, what have you brought? Are bare ke darbar mein pahunch kar ke poochte hai, kya lekar ke aaye, ya kehte hai ke kya loge. When you come to someone very great now, you know, very great, he's extended an invitation, very great now, hey, the king of South Africa, he gave you an invitation. So does he ask, what have you brought? So no, hey, came to your place now, your threshold, eat this, this one here, take this, take this, take this. That's what they ask. When you come to someone great, ask, what will you have? Not what have you brought? Allah Ta'ala.